Jesus loves me. We're going to be singing our responsive call to worship this week. So we'll be singing Jesus Loves Me. We'll be singing also our Gloria Patri that they know very well, and hopefully some of you all know well, and that is Rise and Shine, Give God the Glory, Glory. So we're going to sing that as our Gloria today, and then our final hymn will also be I'm in the Lord's Army, which I did not get to hear them sing this year, but I know they like it. And so you all can sing along with them. We have a lot of announcements. The tenor of this service changed quite a bit this week as we lost our beloved Marie Louise. And so we are, the details to that service for her are still pending. It looks like right now it's going to be on Friday morning, but that will not be confirmed until later today or early tomorrow. We will try to let people know, and it will be in the paper, hopefully early in the week, so you'll know the exact time. But right now it's looking like Friday morning. Her family is coming in, and they will not be able to get here till somewhere between Tuesday and Thursday. One of the things that several people have talked about, there will be people coming from all over the world to this service, and they may need some transportation. So if you would be willing to provide transportation either from the airport to their hotels here in Danville, maybe from their hotels to here. We don't know that people will need that, but if you want to call Vicki in the office and let them know of your willingness to help with that project and be available, that would be appreciated. It's better to have people in line to help and not need them than the other way around. So that was a thought that many people had. Also, we do want to continue the practice of sympathy cards. The deacons have arranged for sympathy cards for Marie Louise's family. They are placed at there's some at the back door, well, the front door back there, and over here at the sides in the sanctuary. There will also be some at the lunch in the fellowship hall. And so if you would like to sign one of those, we will make sure that the family gets those cards. And like I said, there are three cards placed at the front and the side doors, the juice room. There's one at the juice room as well. And please sign one of those with your own personal message so that we can get those cards directly to them. Also, we have one of the things that Marie Louise did was to help organize so many things here at church, one of which was the cleanup for the Holy Week services. That is fast approaching. We need people to sign. There are sign-up sheets in the juice room for people to come forward and to help with that. We're only here, remember, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this Holy Week. We'll be worshiping with Holbrook Presbyterian on Good Friday, but we do need as much help as we can. So if you would like to step forward and help with that project, it would be greatly appreciated. Also, a reminder, and I think we'll hear more about this from Aaron, but being that this is Day School Sunday, we do have a wonderful ability to have a Pat Bolt Memorial Scholarship. Pat was a devoted teacher and director at the preschool, and a memorial scholarship was set up in her name. And if you would like to give generously to that, that has helped many families to be able to afford the day school program. And you can talk to Aaron about that, I guess, and El Brenna as well. So please take note of that. And then also, one of the scripture passages that David Schwann mentioned came to his heart that brought to mind Marie Louise's the type of life that she lived, the faith that she certainly testified to by all that she did, comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where we read, "Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Let us remember that as we join to worship God this day. And we have some more announcements from Brenna.
Good morning. On behalf of the Day School and Christian Education Committee, I would like to welcome our day school family and staff and students. And we are so glad that you were able to join us today. I know it's a hard time for everyone, but you know, we lost an angel, but heaven gained one as well. So as I was thinking of what to say this morning, I looked at the bulletin and saw so much of Marie Louise in there because she loved her music. As we sing our first hymn, "Seek Ye First," we know that she seeked you first in the Lord and was the most bubbly, rise and shine person I knew. We all know how great thou art, and the anthem, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," was so her. And then we will end with where she is now, which is in the Lord's army. It could not have been more appropriate that Heather and John had chosen these songs for us to sing today. And so we want to dedicate our service this morning to Marie Louise, who's probably smiling on all of us in attendance here today. And thank you for being here and letting us love your children, because we love to love your children at First Presbyterian Day School.
Please join me as we sing the responsive call to worship. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Let's join together in Hymn of Praise number 333, Seek Ye First. Let us join together and confess our sins through our prayer of confession, and then let us offer silent confessions to God. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. Power beguiles us, and we deem ourselves worthy. Our good works convince us that we can assure our salvation. We heap treasures about us as signs of merit and status. Then build elaborate defenses to keep your prizes secure. Forgive the illusion of your own greatness, and in Christ, humble us to receive your reward. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Paul reminds us that he counted everything a loss because of his surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus his Savior. Through Christ came the righteousness from God based on faith, not personal attainment. Let us join together in hymn of praise, Rise and Shine. Children can come forward.
Good morning. I think we've got everybody up here. We have quite a full house this morning, and I could not be happier about that. I think our sweet Marie Louise would just be so excited right now. So thank you so much, families who came. I even see some former day school students who don't even go here anymore. So they came to honor Miss Sweet Marie Louise because they loved her so much too. We go to chapel every Wednesday. The threes and the fours do. And every month we have a chapel song. So Paula actually started practicing, I think, in January with her little two-year-olds. So we've done this quite a while now, and they are pros at their three favorite chapel songs. So would my day school boys and girls like to stand up? Can you guys stand up? Stand up. And you guys can sing along, too, because I know you know the song. Come here, stand up, buddy. Stand up. Good. Okay, Cliff, stand right here. Stand right here. Stand with Mallory. We're going to see how this goes. Okay. Can I get your eyeballs? Show me your eyeballs. I need to get some pictures. Trying to make the... You're getting them? Oh, good. Okay. All right. Okay, look at Miss Erin. Look at Miss Erin right here. Remember, we're going to do... Get your little light out. Okay. Y'all ready? One, two, this little light on. Get your deep and wide. Okay? All eyeballs on me. Ready? Good job. I'm so proud of you. All right. You guys ready to go?
Please join me for the prayer for illumination. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth and faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. This is what the Lord says: He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, stuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
Thank you.
so nice to hear the cooing of little ones in the sanctuary. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. And as I said, this passage in particular has kind of a new meaning, not necessarily a new meaning, but a different nuance to it as we read it this morning. I'm sure you won't miss the connection made between the total devotion of Mary as she pours out the gift that she brings Jesus and the life that Marie-Louise poured out for so many of us. Starting in the 12th chapter, the first eight verses. Hear once again the word of God. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always will have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Children love to hear stories. We all love to hear stories, for that matter of fact. Whether you're telling them the story or reading them the story, they become so invested in what is going on, especially when you're telling them some exciting story in the Bible. I love to involve the children in the telling of the story when I do the chapel service. When I told them the story of how God created the world, I needed some to be animals and some to be flowers and some to be trees. And that was a lot of fun. When telling them the story of how David slew Goliath, I had them throwing a Nerf ball at a badly drawn 9-foot-tall giant picture of the enemy of God. When we retold the story of Jesus, or well, they retold the story of Jesus' birth at their winter program, and it was so fun to see how invested they got. As the wise men came in the room, I saw them kind of glimpsing. I think they were a little lost because there were so many people there to get through. There's no wonder that Jesus said, "Unless you come to me like a little child, you will not understand all there is to know about loving God." It is their total commitment that impresses. Rare is the child that only half-heartedly loves their parents. Even as flawed as we parents are, and despite the mistakes we make with our children, especially the little ones, love us unconditionally. Which brings us to our scripture passage for this morning. If there is one thing that is abundantly clear in the gospel lesson, it is that Mary totally and completely adores her Lord. Now, there are not many people, and let me rephrase that. There are not any people that I'm going to buy a lavishly expensive perfume, pour it on their feet, and wipe it with my hair. there's a lot of reasons for that. There is only one person, my wife of 30 years, who I would possibly do that to, and she would be there yelling at me for spending so lavishly on perfume, pouring it and wasting it on her feet, and really I don't have enough hair to make a difference. But for Mary, it was an extravagant sign of just how much she loved Jesus. There would have been a lot of us who would have been like Judas and reprimanded Mary. Even though we may not have had the more nefarious motives that are mentioned here in the gospel lesson that Judas did, he didn't understand, and a lot of us don't understand. For Mary, though, Jesus had spent so much time with she and her brother and sister, whether it was in the house, in their home, teaching them, whether he was raising Mary's brother Lazarus from the dead. He was her friend, her teacher, her Lord. And she understood that his time of sacrificial love was fast approaching. The prophet Isaiah saw how God was doing a new thing in his relationship with his people. As Maggie read to us from the prophet, we hear how he is telling them, don't look back to the difficult times. Instead, look forward. Run toward God's good future. God is about to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor God. He will give water in the wilderness. He will give drink to his chosen people so that they might proclaim God's praise. Both of these passages call us to hold nothing back from God, holding nothing back in order to bring forth this new salvific future. God holds nothing back from us. There's an even more painful truth in both these passages as well. The truth is that birth, that new life, that radical transformation, and God's brand new thing may not occur without loss and death, pain and burial. We are keenly aware of that this week. Mary seemed to understand and marked this reality in the most heartfelt way she felt was possible. With Mary, there was no holding back. She is not afraid of public displays of faith. She unabashedly, extravagantly, emotionally, and lovingly pours her heart out to Jesus. Mary leaves nothing unsaid in the face of Jesus' impending death. She leaves no expression of her care and commitment concealed on the cusp of the most upending new thing that God will bring forth just days from this other Last Supper with Jesus' close friends. Would that we all poured ourselves out, that we all gave all we had and held nothing back, not just from Jesus, but from the creation and from each other. That's where we see Marie Louise in the picture. Ask yourselves, have you ever regretted showing someone your love for them? Alternately, have we ever regretted failing to tell someone how you truly felt about them? Has any act of spontaneous generosity ever brought you sadness? Did that prized possession you kept protected from others give you what you really needed the most? Isaiah and Mary both push us to let go of so much that we think is valuable in order to fully know, to fully love, to fully follow God. Mary recognized the rarity of the moment. Do we? She did not fail to seize the opportunity to show her commitment to the one who raised her brother from the dead and promised her sister Martha he was the resurrection and the life. Mary knew all too well the pain of loss inherent in such radical newness. Burial precedes new life, and that time in between feels eternal. There's a famous sermon by Reverend S.M. Lockridge that describes what that in-between time feels like. He eloquently, he powerfully talks about all the evil that occurs to and around Jesus on Good Friday. But he repeats over and over again, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Easter doesn't happen without Good Friday. Even we who have the confidence in the promise of what's coming, we mourn the loss of what was. We cannot help but consider and remember the things of old when we were waiting for what lies ahead to be revealed. Mary's loving public display of faith honors the past, the present, and the future. She remembers what Jesus has done for her, attends to him right in front of her, and anticipates the painful, extravagant, loving new thing that is on the horizon. Both Isaiah and John contain over-the-top sentiments. Rivers will rush through the desert. Wild beasts will worship God. God makes a way even through the ocean. Even Paul in Philippians says that absolutely everything that he has ever had, as valuable as he once thought it was, he now sees as garbage, as rubbish, as dung. Whatever gain, advantage, or accomplishment he has done, none of these things matter in the wake of being found by Jesus. Mary takes a pint of pure nard, a large, expensive oil, and pours it out. She wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. The stakes could not be higher in all of these texts. God's power is incomparable. And our commitment to God should therefore be commensurate. Nothing can prevent our loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And also loving those neighbors he talks about as ourselves. Nothing can hold us back from Jesus or the new thing he's doing. Now, the challenge for me as a Presbyterian, and I realize we're not all Presbyterian here today, but I know a lot of Presbyterians whose tendency when it comes to faith is to idealize restraint. All things in moderation. Shun ostentation. Be decent and orderly. Keep calm and carry on. Do not make a scene. Consider the cost. Weigh the options. Maintain control. Be prudent. But these texts are akin to Jesus' admonishment to the rich young ruler. See all that you have. Give it to the poor and follow me, he tells him. These stories push us. They push us to cry out to God in lament or praise or thanksgiving or petition, no matter how others perceive it when we do. These characters don't exhibit much in the need of a plan B or a plan C, for tucking something away for a rainy day or waiting to act until conditions seem favorable. Mary and Paul and Isaiah, and dare I say Marie Louise, give all that they have and all that they are to Jesus, knowing nothing is better than the gift of having him in their lives. on this fifth Sunday of Lent, could we do that too? What would that even look like? The answer to that question begins with recognizing what we are holding in reserve, what we are keeping from Jesus. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, the time is now. Jesus is at the table with us. God is right now doing a new thing. We are given the opportunity to recognize this Kairos moment and act with abandon, to show Jesus how we feel and pour ourselves out for him, for his sake, even as we grieve what once was. We can trust what lies ahead. We can risk it for the sake of the gospel, knowing that doing so is not a risk at all. We can bring out the pure, expensive nard, pour it out completely, give ourselves totally, and trust that in doing so, we are perceiving the new thing God is about to do, and striving toward a resurrection future with a Savior who holds nothing back for us. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed that can be found in the Aids to Worship in the pews. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, from heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing one of the great hymns of the faith, number 467, How Great Thou Art. Please be seated. We certainly have folks on our prayer list this morning, but it is our practice here at First Pres to, if anybody would have an additional prayer concern or a joy that they would like to share. Of course, the bulletin was printed before Marie Louise passed away, and so we certainly want to keep Donnie and the rest of the family in our prayers and safe travels for her mom and dad and other family coming from across the ocean. But are there other additional prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share? A quiet group today. Let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Gail. Yeah. Sometimes you got to, if you're on my left, you got to wave high. What's up? Amen to that. Yes. Children. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. And to all our preschool staff, to Aaron and to the teachers, they do a wonderful job, and we are very blessed to have them as part of our First Church family, and they do a marvelous, marvelous job. Anybody else? And like I said, sometimes, especially if you're on the left, please wave, because I... Yeah, back in the back. Yes, go ahead. You got to say it louder than that. I can't hear. Little to James, the Jameses. Okay, both Jameses. All right. Thank you for reminding us about that. Okay. Anybody else? Let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Lord God, you are the God of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You are full of compassion. You abound in mercy. We give you thanks that we dwell in the realm of your grace. You have passed over our sins in sending us Jesus. We have a glimpse of the new life through his days here on earth. When he was tempted, you ministered to him. You gave him authority to cast out demons. When he cried out for guidance, you heard him. He placed his life in your hands. He now dwells by your side. We live evermore with assurance that you will never abandon your people. For that comfort, we thank you, and we praise your name. Hear us as we pray on behalf of those who for some reason cannot trust your benevolence, who struggle in the darkness, who stumble through life, for they have not accepted the light that the children sang about this morning. Help us to befriend them. Give us the sense to detect what causes their hearts to turn from you, and help us to deal sensitively with the sources of their resistance to your gospel. We pray on behalf of those whom our culture despises. They must endure hardships that others inflict upon them. Through your Spirit, give them counsel. Enable them through Christ to bring them comfort. May we, like Mary, stoop to their needs and anoint them with the balm of compassion and care. Empower us with the truth of Christ's resurrection, so that in sharing their suffering, we may lead them from despair to the hope of new life. We give you thanks this morning for the children, for the joy they bring to our hearts. The beautiful music, the chattering voices. Lord, we give you thanks for those and for those who lead them, for Aaron and for the rest of the staff. We give you thanks for their dedication. and their selfless giving of themselves, so that the children may know you, may learn of you, may grow to love you. We give you thanks for the parents who nurture their young ones. Be with them and guide them, that they may know you and that they may love you just as much, and teach that faith to their children. We ask this day, Lord, that you would be with those who grieve the loss of Marie Louise and of others who pass this week. Be with both Jameses. Be with her family, her many friends from throughout the globe. Help us to learn from her what selfless devotion is all about, for she followed you. Help us to learn from her. Help us celebrate her life this week, whether it be yesterday when a group gathered or later in the week when we gather again. And bring the blessed assurance to those who mourn the loss of loved ones that through Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, we live eternally with you. Be with those who have special needs this day, whether we name them here or whether we hold them in our hearts, Lord, you know their need. You will answer their prayer. We lift up to you Brian and Claudine, Amy and Lisa, Will, Charles and Lib, Matthew, Diane, Fred, and Carolyn. Hear our prayers for Martha Jo, for Greg, for Bobby, for Gail and Laura, Beth and Bill, Dana, Sally, Meg, Frio. Lord, we continue to pray for Ella, for Joan, for Deborah, for Jim, for Leslie, for Nolte. Hear our prayers for Bill and Ann, for Dave, for all those we continue to pray for who are on the mend, for both Jameses, for Helen, for Willem. Lord, hear our prayers for those who bring about peace and security, for all of our service personnel, wherever they may serve, both those first responders who did their job this week. Protect them and guide them, for their service personnel overseas as they seek to bring about peace and justice for this world. Keep them safe and bring them home. For places of conflict such as Togo and other places, bring about peace with justice. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and bind us together this day as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. We have a new group of ushers this morning. Would they please come forward and take the morning offering? Thank you. let us pray. Giver of every good and perfect gift, if you would be pleased with costly ointments, we would bring them to you. If adornments brought you pleasure, we would make images of you and bedeck them with fine jewelry. But you are not found in images, nor do you wish useless offerings. Accept our gifts of money as tokens of our abiding allegiance, and use them in ways that will enhance your dominion. We pray in Christ, the giver of life's name. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is a fun one. I'm in the Lord's army.